Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So Chris Mortensen yesterday said Bryce Young is going to be the pick. That's who he believes is going to be the number one overall pick from, I guess, people that he talks to. Now, he did walk it back a little bit in that clip, Hickey, where he starts off by basically saying Bryce Young's going to be the pick, and he goes, they haven't made their final decision yet. So that kind of did get me a bit confused, but the betting odds now are listed as the same for Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud to be the number one overall pick in this upcoming draft, so they do have the same odds. I still don't know which way that this is going to go. You know it's either going to be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I keep on going back and forth. But then Lance Zierlein, who's covered the NFL forever, does a great job covering the draft for NFL Network, hosts a local talk show each and every day in the Houston area. He was saying, don't be surprised if Bryce Young is the number one overall pick, and then the Texans, with Bryce Young off the board, then elect to punt on taking a quarterback. Now, two things I'll say on that. I still think it's 50-50, and I know that's not a great radio answer, on if it's going to be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud with the number one pick. If I had to lean one way or another, and maybe I'll be wrong here, but C.J. Stroud was the name from the start that was leaked out the moment the Panthers moved up to the number one overall pick. Now, with that being said, remember, Mac Jones was the first name that was leaked out when you had the 49ers move up to number three, and it ended up being Trey Lance. So just because it's the first name that's leaked out doesn't always mean that it's going to be the pick. But Hickey, when you see the way that, and I'm not saying that they had a bad meeting or bad conversations with Bryce Young, and we both feel the same way, Bryce Young should be the number one overall pick in the draft. We'll see if he will end up being the number one overall pick in the draft. But you go back to that pro day for C.J. Stroud, didn't it look like it was a slam dunk? At least if it was up to Josh McCown talking about when they're going to play pickup basketball in the Charlotte area, and then just the way that Josh McCown looked. Like, if it was up to Josh McCown, I think it's pretty clear C.J. Stroud will be the quarterback, but just because Josh McCown is your quarterback coach wants him doesn't mean that that's going to be the pick, because you have David Tepper, you got Scott Fitterer, you got Frank Reich as well, and others that are going to be a part of this decision-making process.
That's what happens. You got a lot of cooks in the kitchen and a lot of people trying to chime in on the decision, which is a little concerning with the Panthers. But at the end of the day, I'm with you. I do think it will be C.J. Stroud when the pick is finally in about 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks from today, actually.
Yeah.
So I think we will hear C.J. Stroud's name called.
And by the way, this is probably not the best way to do it, but we have talked about this before on the air, and I was not planning that, just impromptu with you laying it out so eloquently that the draft is in 3 weeks. I guess we have a big show announcement. We are going to the draft again this year. The plan is we will be doing the show Wednesday at an affiliate, and then Thursday and Friday we'll be doing the show live from the draft. So we will be at the draft. More details to come on information and who's hosting the show and all that other stuff, but I know we will be at the draft Thursday, Friday, and we'll also do a broadcast on Wednesday from Kansas City as well. So, Hickey, get ready for those mock drafts. Get ready for those instant reactions, and also get ready for the barbecue. But I have to watch you extra carefully now, taking you on the road, because as DA said, you've been developing this shock jock bad boy image, which actually could be fun for this trip, but I got to make sure that you don't get out of hand and you don't do something stupid on the road.
Well, you know my new motto, WWHSD. What would Howard Stern do? If Howard Stern would do it, I'm going to do it. So that you can say, you know, you built the monster. You could say maybe the monster just developed inside of me, but now my new idol in radio is the great Howard Stern.
Yeah, and you're not even a pimple on the fanny of Howard Stern, as Christopher Mad Dog Russo would say.
Oh, that's for sure. But in my head, I am Howard. And that is not good for terrestrial radio. That's for sure.
Okay. That's wonderful. Hickey, I can see the Barrett Sports Media article now. Take notice. Ryan Hickey says he's the next Howard Stern. Oh, jeez.
I won't even try to do a Howard Stern impersonation just to save him, but I can only imagine what he, if he ever sees that article, what he would say.
He would never read it.
Yeah, not nice things, that's for sure.
I actually know Howard Stern's daughter. She worked at the sleepaway camp that I attended. She was the drama teacher. I think her name is Emily. All these years ago, very long time ago. But very, very, very nice person. But anyway, we're going to draft. Going to be a whole lot of fun. Now, back to our conversation about trying to figure out who these draft picks are going to be. If, let's just say we're both wrong, that it's not C.J. Stroud being the number one overall pick, which you know our rule of thumb. If Hickey's saying something, if I'm saying something, and it's the same thing, fade, 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 fade. So Carolina fans, get ready. It's probably going to be Bryce Young. So if Bryce Young is the number one overall pick, will the Texans have the cojones to not take a quarterback at two? What do you think about that?
I think they would. I don't think they would take C.J. Stroud.
Why not?
Because you look who C.J. Stroud is associated with. His agent, Deshaun Watson's agent. His quarterback coach, Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach. I think that's enough to where they would say, we're not getting involved in this again. Even though Deshaun Watson and C.J. Stroud are two separate people.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
But for don't forget, before everything off the field came out about Deshaun Watson, he signed the extension.
Yeah.
And then that January, he wanted out. He wanted out, but even before everything came to a head as it did, he was done with the Texans. I think, personally, those two connections are enough for the Texans to say, we're not going down this road again.
Okay, I vehemently disagree on that, but just because it's not, like, let's say you're right that they don't want to take C.J. Stroud. You don't think they're going to take a quarterback altogether? You don't think they're taking Anthony Richardson?
Well, if you don't like Anthony Richardson, if you're not a Will Levis fan, you're not going to take one just to take one.
I think they're absolutely taking a quarterback. Now, you can argue. I think this would be your best argument if you're going to say they're not going to take C.J. Stroud at two. I think your best argument would be then they'll play out this year. Even though they have improved this roster, they're still nowhere close to being a football team that you look at and you really expect much out of. And especially if you're starting next year, their quarterbacks on the roster right now are Davis Mills and Case Keenum. You want to guess who their third-string quarterback is, by the way? You have any idea who their third-string quarterback is? Because you were the same guy that said that Cam, there's not a team in the league that would need Cam on their roster to even be like a third-string quarterback. You want to guess who their third-string quarterback is right now?
I'm guessing it's some no-name scrub, so I won't even take an attempt at a guess. Who is it?
He played at Brown.
I couldn't even tell you.
E.J. Perry.
I never would have guessed that. You gave me literally a million guesses. Yeah. We could have been sitting here for years. I never would have guessed E.J. Perry.
And you missed the college football.
Brown. Yeah, I can't say I'm too caught up on Brown University quarterbacks.
Yeah. So Jeez. Anyway, I think your argument would be if, let's say, Young goes one and they don't love C.J. Stroud, which could be the case, that if you're starting Davis Mills, Case Keenum, or the extremely famous E.J. Perry, that you're probably going to be in that top five boat once again. I know that's a dangerous game to play, but next year, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and it was Daniel Jeremiah who joined us who said if Caleb Williams and Drake May were in this draft class, that they would go still 1-2, even with how much Daniel Jeremiah thinks that highly of Bryce Young as a quarterback. So maybe that would be the play for the Texans. If they only love Young, then they do pass up on a quarterback, and it's a tricky kind of game, a slippery slope, but then you bank on being in the top five next year and moving up, because maybe you trade back from two to another team that wants a quarterback, and maybe you get some extra resources, and then you could have all the resources, even if you're not in the top two picks next year, to go move up to go get Caleb Williams or Drake May.
Right, so don't take a quarterback, just take a quarterback.
I'm just saying that's the argument. I'm not saying that's the argument I'm making, but I'm saying if I was making your argument, that's what I would do. I asked Sean Pendergast today, who I like a lot. Sean does a tremendous job here for CBS Sports Radio, and then his Monday through Friday job is hosting with Seth Payne on 610 Sports in Houston. And I just asked him straight up, and I'll trust Sean Pendergast on this. I said, do you think the Texans would pass on Stroud? I asked him specifically if Young is the pick at one, and he said, I do not. So I do think we're going to see Stroud, Young, the first two picks. It just depends on what the order is going to be. And I do believe that the Texans would draft C.J. Stroud if Bryce Young does go one. Now, if we had to do the first five picks of this draft, Hickey, right now, Who would be your first five picks of the draft? So Carolina Panthers, we're both in agreement that it's CJ Stroud?
Yes.
Okay. Just wondering, if Young did go one, you just said you're not taking a quarterback two if you're the Texans, who would you then draft?
I think they would trade down.
You do think they would trade
down? Yes.
But if they had to make a pick, who do you think? Would it be Will Anderson?
Yeah. I really want to say Jalen Carter, but I would probably say Will Anderson.
Okay. So let's just go now in order. Panthers one, as we said, are 3 weeks away from the draft. We're both saying it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Correct, Amundo?
Yes, sir.
All right, two. Then we're both going, I'm assuming, Bryce Young with the Houston Texans. Now, three, I'm going to say Raiders trade up, Raiders select Anthony Richardson.
I agree.
You're doing the same thing?
Yes, I think that's a team that trades up.
Wow. Then in at four, what do the Colts do? I'll let you go first because I know who I'm picking them.
I don't think they take Will Levis. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they...
Hendon Hooker?
Take the best available quarterback. Or best available player, I'm sorry. So, and they are big on character.
Look how flustered you are,
by
the way.
I think Jalen Carter are probably off their board at this point.
Yeah. Very big on character when Jim Irsay is their owner, yeah.
Chris Ballard is, and he's always making the choices.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're I think we're flustered. Looking at
edge rush, defensive line.
This draft has really messed you up. You can't even formulate a sentence when I ask you about this question.
Well, unfortunately, that's what happens when you set your sights on Bryce Young and they get crushed right in front of your eyes.
Okay, so who are you going with at number four?
We'll go Tyree Wilson.
Why not Will Anderson at that point?
He's off the board, isn't he?
No, you just had...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I was still stuck before about the Texans.
You are really
trading out.
You're really messed up by this Colts thing where you just told me you think the third overall pick is going to be Anthony Richardson to the Raiders.
Yes.
Or you're like, Will Anderson's off the board.
Yes. So, well, it was before. I don't know why I was still fixated on the Texans sitting there,
too. I
got to
stand up here. Are you drinking again?
No, sir.
You sure?
I will say that at pick four, the Colts take Will Anderson Jr. of Alabama.
Gotcha. I'm going pick number four. The Indianapolis Colts select out of Kentucky. Get your mayo in your coffee. Will Levis. I think we're seeing quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4 in this draft. Now, fifth pick, Seahawks. Who are you rolling with?
I don't think they take a quarterback. I'll say Tyree Wilson.
Gotcha. Not Jalen Carter in that spot.
No.
I think they would be interested in drafting Jalen Carter, but since Will Anderson's still available and I think he's the safer play, I'm going to go Will Anderson with the Seahawks. So my five picks right now, 3 weeks away from the draft. C.J. Stroud going one to the Panthers. Two, Bryce Young going to the Texans. Three, Raiders trading up. Cardinals falling back. Raiders select Anthony Richardson. The Colts taking Will Levis. And then the Seahawks drafting Will Anderson. Now I'm going to attempt. I can't even recite who your five picks were because you threw me in a loop. So give me your five picks again.
It was C.J. Stroud, number one, to the Panthers. Bryce Young, number two, to the Texans. Number three, Anthony Richardson to the Raiders. Colts take Will Anderson. Will Anderson at number four. And then Tyree Wilson going five to the Seahawks.
Man, I'm actually concerned. My biggest concern is going to the draft with you. If you're getting this like crazy already and this flustered, when you can't even get to this simple exercise, I don't know what's going to happen when the Colts are on the clock and maybe they take Will Levis or they do something that you don't like. I think this is a big time problem.
This is a problem for the Colts because for me, apathy is set in.
It's a problem for you.
I've waved the white flag.
You're defeated.
I am.
I liked it better when you walked into a year all hopeful and we could just all predict how you were going to be wrong and then we get to tear you down. I'm actually upset.
Well, now it's Will Anderson Jr. Hope you win two games and hope Caleb Williams is in that nice Colts blue number 13 next year.
Oh, you're already going for Caleb Williams. You guys aren't going to be that bad where you're the number one overall pick. You know that, right?
Gardner Minshew, a quarterback, he executed one of the
you play
most
in a crappy
perfect
division.
Tanks. So do the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew, a quarterback 2 years ago. They went 1-15.
Yeah, but outside of the Jaguars, that's your only strong team in that division.
And
like
the
Tennessee
AFC
stinks.
South was not exactly that strong or menacing when the Jaguars tanked.
Weren't the Colts a playoff team that year?
They were.
And Tennessee was also a playoff team.
And the Texans stunk.
Yeah, so that's
and
only
the
one
Jaguars
other team that
beat
stunk.
The Colts.
I'm just saying.
For their one win.
I'm just saying, I don't think you guys, even with how bad you are, I still don't think you're the worst team in that division. You got Jonathan Taylor. You got a solid defense. Like, you'll be able to win, like, 6-7 games that will take you out of the number one pick spot.
We'll see. I thought they were a good team last year, too, and the wheels came off fast.
You think they're a good team, though, every year. So now when you think they're, like, the worst team in the league.
Everyone last year picked the Colts to win the division. It wasn't like it was me on an island saying, oh, the Colts are good, the Colts are good.
Every year you say the Colts are a good team.
Well, they're in the mix every year. Everyone picked them to win the division last year.
2 years ago, they missed the playoffs.
2 years ago, they should have made the playoffs and collapsed on the stretch, but it wasn't like that they, you know, were this bad team out of the gate. They had, like, a 99% chance to make the playoffs going into week 16 or week, at that point, week 17, and blew it.
But your confidence
and
is always
up. And they made the playoffs in
here.
2021.
Your confidence.
Or 2020.
Yeah, I don't need a history lesson.
So I'm saying, like, they were, like, it's not crazy for me the last few years to say that they are a good team entering the year.
But you take it to an extreme level. The Colts are a great team. You speak very arrogantly about them. And now it's like you're down and out that this is going to be, you're already convinced they're going to be the worst team in the league and getting the number one overall pick. You're not getting the number one overall pick this year.
Okay. Okay. I know why you're saying that. Because you don't want me to have Caleb Williams, so I know where the source of your quote-unquote optimism is coming from.
I told you what I didn't think they were as great as the way that you were making them out to be, that wasn't going to be the case. I'm just saying. There are worse teams than the Colts entering this season. To think that you're going to get the number one overall pick, it's just, I'm telling you once again, you're going down this road, as I told you with Bryce Young. You were not going to trade up to get him because it was unlikely. It is unlikely that you're going to get the number one overall pick.
Okay.
Man.
I mean, look around the league. There's not that many teams on paper right now that are guaranteed worse than them.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Maybe I should have suspended you.
I mean, I'm not trying to, like, sit here and, like, try to make this team worse than it is. But, like, you look around the league, like, it's not clear and obvious that there's five teams that are worse right now than the Colts.
Folks, just wait a few months when he starts to talk him up, being like, all right, dark horse chance to make the playoffs. We know that will eventually be coming from Hickey. Carrington Harrison will join us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Check in with our pal Carrington Harrison. Does a great job, host here at CBS Sports Radio, and you catch him out afternoon drive in Kansas City. He joins us right now. Carrington, how you been?
Zach Gelb, no one has had me on to talk about the Chiefs quarterback carousel since probably, I don't know, 2012. I don't even really know what I'm doing on your show, but Ryan Hickey was like, hey, Gelb wants you on, and I'm like, you know what? I will get up from eating dinner with my mom to talk to Zach Gelb. And then he was like, oh, it's about quarterbacks for the Chiefs. And I'm like, what is there to talk about? The Chiefs have the greatest quarterback we have ever seen.
Well, you have to hit on all 32 teams. So we have to do one day of Kansas City. I am intrigued, though, and I appreciate the kind words. What are you eating with mom right now? What's on the dinner plate?
So it was like a little reverse happy hour. I actually just got some wings. They were lemon garlic butter or whatever. They had literally just come out, and then I saw my phone was ringing. I was like, oh, yeah, let me go talk to Zach Gelb. So I am excited to talk to you. Next time you do this, you know what? I would talk to Las Vegas twice. They need extra attention to their quarterback issue. Denver needs extra attention to their quarterback issue, not Kansas City.
So we'll keep on the food topic, and then we'll delve into the Kansas City Chiefs as well just for a second. Carrington Harrison is here with us. I just said about 30 minutes ago, we are actually coming to your town for the NFL draft coming up in 3 weeks. Where are the places I have to go? Like, you had to give me two meal recommendations. Where must I go?
Yeah, no, I just heard about this. I heard this while I was waiting on hold. I'm going to show you the best barbecue that you've ever had, because I don't know if you've been to Kansas City before.
I have not.
So whenever you get here, we're going to go on the tour. We're going to Gates. We're going to Jack Stack.
Awesome.
We're going to Joe's Kansas City. We're going to try, like, there's There's four big barbecue restaurants in Kansas City. We're going to sample each of them, and then when you go back home to the NYC, you can pick what your favorite one.
Yeah, an early case was being made for Joe's by one of our listeners, Slick Reynolds. He was saying you got to go to Joe's. Joe's is the
Joe's
place.
Joe's is good. So the original Joe's location is actually in a gas station. I mean, like a living, breathing. It wasn't used to be a gas station. It is still currently a gas station today. So you can go fill up and get the best barbecue sandwich that you've ever had.
So when we look back at the Chiefs this past year, Carrington Harrison, we'll see if we could top this conversation the rest of the way. Probably not, because we started it off with food. Everyone was like freaking out about no Tyreek Hill this year, and then the Chiefs go and win the Super Bowl. So what did this year tell you about Kansas City when you look back at it?
I actually don't know if we have given Patrick Mahomes enough credit. I know I have in Kansas City, but I don't know if people like Zach Gelb have given Patrick Mahomes enough credit for winning the Super Bowl with Travis Kelce and a bunch of guys. Think about it. They had a seventh-round rookie at running back, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was a 600-yard receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, who is no longer on the team, Kadarius Toney, who you know very well, who was on the Giants, who they just cast away, that scored a touchdown.
Could have been the Super Bowl MVP, honestly, if we're being honest.
He had a chance to. I mean, Sky Moore caught his first touchdown in the NFL in the Super Bowl. I don't think we've given Patrick Mahomes enough credit for basically winning the Super Bowl with Travis Kelce and just a bunch of random guys.
He gets a ton of credit. Now you're doing what I used to do with Tom Brady.
I'm serious with Patrick Mahomes. Like, this is the thing about Mahomes. I think at this point now, let's say that Mahomes says, you know what? I've made enough money. I don't want to play football anymore. Patrick Mahomes is one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time. At this point in his career, I don't care about longevity stats. I'm saying we all watch these games. We know these games. You cannot name five quarterbacks all time better than Patrick Mahomes. And that's with another decade to go in his career.
No, you are right on that. Mahomes, if he retired tomorrow, he would definitely be put in Canton, Ohio as a first ballot Hall of Famer. Also, just going off the whole Mahomes and Tyreek Hill relationship, and I know Tyreek Hill said some things today. We'll get into that in just a bit. Not that I ever doubted Kansas City, and I always thought that they would be a tough out in the playoffs. They had a great chance to get to the Super Bowl. But I was always wondering, Carrington Harrison, because you've seen their runs the last few years. They would go down big, and they would so quickly come back. That's what I was wondering, if they were going to miss Tyreek Hill. And then to be down by 10 in the Super Bowl to Philly, who's having an unbelievable season and still come back, that's what just made it so off the charts.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I would say that that's been the theme, really, of Patrick Mahomes' career, that time, situation, score, none of those things seem to matter. I mean, you think back to the first Super Bowl run. They were down 24-0 against the Houston Texans. I mean, they were down 10 with 8 minutes to go in a Super Bowl against San Francisco. They won. You mentioned the Eagles. I thought the Eagles played as well in the first half as a team could play.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs still found a way to win in all of these games. Like, that has really been a staple of Patrick Mahomes' career. I'm on this team. So as long as we still got time on the clock, I don't care if it's 13 seconds left like against Buffalo or 8 minutes like the Super Bowl against San Francisco. As long as we still have time on the clock, we are going to win this game.
Who are the quarterbacks in the AFC that you look at? Is it just only Burrow as the only one that's just in kind of a similar or even close to being in the same category as Mahomes?
I mean, I like Josh Allen. I mean, I would say with Buffalo, I think Buffalo needs to go get Bijan Robinson. I think one of the big problems with Buffalo is it's hard to ask your quarterback to be the focal point of your passing attack and also be your best running back option, too. And I think what happens with Buffalo every year is you need Josh Allen to have, like, 370 yards of total in order to win. Like, Patrick Mahomes did not have a great numbers day in the Super Bowl. Like, he didn't throw for 400 yards. He threw for, what, 180 yards. But you could have Isaiah Pacheco, who runs the ball. You can have the defense do some stuff. Like, you can't just count on your best player to score 40 points every night in the league. You need other guys to kind of carry their weight. I think Buffalo's biggest problem is they ask Josh Allen to do everything offensively, and if he doesn't, they can't win.
I know the Chiefs, they have the last pick in the draft. They win the Super Bowl. They're sitting at 31 just because you have the pick taken away from Miami. I know it's kind of tough to have a lot of draft conversation when you're picking last in the first round, but what has kind of been some of the talking points on this draft for Kansas City?
I mean, right now it's been wide receiver, honestly. I mean, a lot of people are sort of waiting to see what's going to happen at the number one wide receiver. I mean, right now they only have one wide receiver who is on his second contract in the league, and that's MVS. Can you go into a season with Marquez Valdes-Scantling as your number one wide receiver? So I think they still need a wide receiver. Are they going to address it with Odell Beckham? Are they going to address it with DeAndre Hopkins? Or are they going to go get a wide receiver? I really like Quentin Johnston out of TCU. I think a lot of Chiefs fans are warm on him. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State makes a lot of sense. I don't know if he's going to fall in a range in which Kansas City could realistically move up to get him. But a lot of the conversation with the Chiefs has been about wide receiver. And that appears to be their biggest weakness right now. Pass rush a little bit, but that's something you can address in the draft. Or, you know, there's always going to be that veteran pass rusher you can get. But wide receiver, not picking up Juju Smith-Schuster. I really wanted Jacoby Myers. DJ Chark ended up going back to Carolina. This team really needs a true number one wide receiver.
I think Odell is going to link up with Rodgers and go to the Jets whenever that deal gets done. Hopkins is the name that I've been saying it. I think Hopkins is going to wind up in Kansas City. That's just based off gut feel.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing with DeAndre Hopkins is going to be, what's the cost to acquire him? Like, are you going to have to use a second-round pick? Are you going to get him for a fourth-round pick? And is he going to be willing to restructure his contract? I'm not super interested in DeAndre Hopkins at what we've heard he's going to command. I'm not giving you a second-round pick for a 31-year-old wide receiver who has played 19 games in the last 2 years.
Why not, though? Because you guys are in the penthouse. You could do whatever you want right now. And if he can stay healthy, you know that's going to be off the charts with Mahomes.
It's just how the Chiefs have been built and the moves that they've made. It would be one of the more risky moves that they've made. It's not like – I know you're a big Patriots guy. We're not talking about DeAndre Hopkins as a free agent right now. You can get him on a one-year, $6 million deal. Sure, take the flyer for DeAndre Hopkins. We're talking about you got to trade something for DeAndre Hopkins, and you got to negotiate a contract with him. It just seems like a lot for a guy who tore his ACL less than 18 months ago and then missed 6 games last year because of a suspension. Like I right now, I wonder with DeAndre Hopkins if there are more questions than answers. And you and I both know this. Football is best played by people ages 24 to 27. He's 31 years old. Like, you are sort of in a race against time. How much does he have left in the tank?
Do you actually believe Tyreek Hill when he said today that this is going to be his last contract with the Dolphins?
I think Tyreek Hill just likes being in the headlines.
Agreed.
Last year he said that Tua was the most accurate quarterback that we've ever played with. Like, this is just what Tyreek Hill does. Tyreek Hill in the offseason, he just starts talking, and then we're talking about Tyreek Hill, and he said he wanted to quit to do Twitch. It's just, no, I don't. Last season, I spent my whole offseason last year hanging on every word of Tyreek Hill. I refuse to do it again. Tyreek Hill chose the bag over winning, and there's nothing wrong with that. You got your $120 million. You got a lot of guaranteed money. I hope you're happy with winning 9 games and never advancing in the playoffs.
But you know that he misses Kansas City. There's no way you can't miss the Chiefs with what they're doing.
He could have signed. This is the thing, Zach, and you know this. All of us have been offered jobs or you change jobs. Whenever you reach that point, we see what you value most. Do you value work environment? Do you value four-day work weeks? Like, you're allowed to decide to take a job for whatever reason you want. The Chiefs have made one thing clear. There is a tax to playing on the Chiefs. Everybody can't be the highest paid player at their position. We aren't the Rams. We're not going to have Stafford making big money and Aaron Donald making big money and Cooper Kupp and all of these. You're going to have to take 85% to be on the team. You can still be incredibly rich. You can still be incredibly wealthy, but you're not going to be able to say you are the highest paid player at your position. That's what Tyreek Hill valued more than winning championships, more than playing on a team that has a chance to compete every single year. He wanted to be the highest paid wide receiver at $30 million a year. That comes at a cost. Go win 8 or 9 games every year, miss the playoffs, and be happy with that.
Carrington Harrison, before we let you run, Andy Reid, 65. How much longer do you think he's going to coach for?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know how you can walk away with things the way they are in Kansas City. I mean, think about it. You got a super passionate fan base. You got a great ownership group. You and the general manager are on the same page. You've got one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. I mean, as long as you're healthy, why are you walking away anytime soon? I mean, I'd probably set the over-under at 4.5 years and him coaching until his 70s and probably take the over. But we also know things can change. Look what happened with Bill Self. Bill Self appeared to be healthy and then couldn't coach in the NCAA tournament. So I don't know if any of us can say definitively because things change so quickly. But if you're asking me right now, 4.5 years for Andy Reid, would you take the over or the under? I take the slight over, and let's say he retires at like 72.
Do you agree that Bieniemy left Kansas City with the idea that he felt like he had to go somewhere else to be considered for a head coaching job again?
I mean, I don't know how anybody could see that and not come to that same conclusion that you came to. Like, I don't even know what the other side of the argument would be. Like, it seems fairly obvious to me, and this is the thing, and you know what? I feel good about this because I can say this, and then you'll hang up the phone, and you got to deal with it. Give me one white coach who had to go through this process. Like, we never asked Josh McDaniels, hey, Josh McDaniels, you know what you got to do? You got to go be an offensive coordinator for another team. You can't be under Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for you to earn this job. Like, just give me one white coach with the resume that Eric Bieniemy that had to prove himself at another location. You're telling me that Eric Bieniemy's employment to be a head coach is now based on Sam Howell? That's what it's based on, not based on anything he did in Kansas City. I just want to know why we saw Doug Peterson get so much credit for the success. I want to see why Matt Nagy gets so much credit for the success. Mike Kafka, who we know eventually is going to be a head coach in the league. How do all these coaches get all this credit, but yet Eric Bieniemy has to go through another unnecessary step to prove that he's worthy of being a head coach? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, let me ask you this. Does Nagy get a head coaching job again, now being 100%. The offensive coordinator in Kansas City, before Bieniemy gets his first?
100%. Gelb, he is a white offensive coordinator who had a winning record with the Bears. Yes, we know how this ends. He's now the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs for the next 2 years. He'll be the hot it candidate. People will say, well, he wasn't that bad with Chicago. Look who we had. He had Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. You should hire him. There's no way that Matt Nagy only gets one chance in the NFL. Think about how bad Josh McDaniel was with the Broncos. He got another chance to be an offensive coordinator with the Raiders and is doing the exact same stuff. Yes, Matt Nagy will absolutely be a head coach again in the National Football League in the next 2 seasons.
Will Bieniemy ever be a head coach in this league?
I mean, I'm going to say no at this point. Like, it's kind of one of those things, like, the more hoops you create, eventually you just trip up. Like, I just don't know what Washington has to do next season in order for a team that has already interviewed Eric Bieniemy to finally say yes. You know, like, he's been doing this for 3 news cycles. Last year, he wasn't even the it minority candidate anymore. Like, there was a time there where he was kind of the example of the Rooney Rule, and the media was pushing him. That was DeMeco Ryans this year. So, I mean, what is Washington? Like, Washington probably has to make the playoff. The Washington Commanders have to make the playoffs in order for Eric Bieniemy to get a job. I'm just going to guess that the Commanders don't make the playoffs this year.
Well, enjoy those wings with Mom, and I'll see you in 3 weeks, and we'll go on the barbecue tour.
Gelb, I appreciate you, my guy.
You got it. There he is, Carrington Harrison, joining us on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I got to get into this Tyreek Hill stuff. And I think Carrington Harrison hit the nail right on the head. Tyreek Hill just loves having himself in the conversation. I don't think there's a chance. And don't get me wrong. I get it. He's won. He's made all the money in the world. Quality of life is really not conducive to getting your head bashed in as a football player. I don't think, though, his contract expires 3 years from now, that Tyreek Hill is going to be walking away and leaving the National Football League like he claims, that this will be his final contract and only contract with the Miami Dolphins.
I would agree, especially if he continues his high level of play and the Dolphins in a year or two want to renegotiate, or he wants to renegotiate seeing how well he's doing. Like, if he has another year and a half or another 2 years like he did in 2022 and he can get another big-time deal, you're going to say he's going to turn that down just because year 10 is his cutoff date to retire? And with salaries going up too, so you can make it even more than he's getting now?
Especially at that position, too.
Right.
And he's 29. And he just turned 29. I would think that he will sign another contract. Now, it may not be in Miami. It may be somewhere else. But even if it's only like a 3-year deal or something like that, he will sign another big contract in the NFL. You know what I'm starting to feel that way about as well? Where I believed him when he said this, and I know you had the talk at the Super Bowl, and then this offseason, you had the talk of, you know, where he basically just changed his Twitter profile and said he was retired. Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, I think he likes the drama as well. And I think we look at it differently because we hear a lot more from Tyreek Hill. But Aaron Donald loves to play this drama game as well. And I don't think Aaron Donald is going to retire as quickly as he claims as well. Because Aaron Donald basically made it seem like when he was on with us last year and the questions that he would answer before a PR person would interrupt us, that he pretty much gave the indication that he was locked in for last year and then this upcoming year as well. And then after that, he kind of alluded to the point that he would retire. But I don't think that's going to be the case either. I know his play was bogged down this year because of injury, but he's still only 31 years old as well.
I believe him more because of the timing. Like, if you are after reaching the pinnacle of your career and winning a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. You're really, truly debating, do I call it a career or do I come back? I think you're serious about it.
But didn't McVay do the same thing? And McVay, for some reason, is back this year.
Right. Now, sure, yes. I think also coaching's in his blood, and I'm not sure that he's, when he saw the light, kind of almost like Tom Brady, at the other end of when you're not coaching every day, what else are you going to do? I can see Aaron Donald, who's playing the game, physically taxing.
Yeah.
I can see him hanging up a lot, you know, still on his timeline of a year or two.
Okay, then why did this offseason, or not, it wasn't even officially an offseason mode yet. I know the Rams didn't make the playoffs, but that was, I'm pretty sure it was wild card weekend. It was either wild card weekend, division round weekend, when he changes his bio to former NFL defensive tackle or former Rams player. That's someone that's looking for attention. When you're out of the news cycle, your team isn't in the postseason. Oh, let me just quickly have my team or him do it himself, change his bio. Like, that part doesn't make any sense to me. And Rodney Harrison wasn't supposed to reveal the details of the conversation before the Super Bowl. And like, Aaron Donald's really starting to become unbelievable with the retirement stuff, where I was in lockstep with you. A year ago, yeah, he's going to be done soon. Heck, I even said it this offseason. It wouldn't surprise me if he walked away this offseason. But the more and more you think about it, and the more and more you kind of compare it to Tyreek Hill, who's now doing something similar, basically setting up his retirement, I don't believe it for Tyreek Hill. So now I really shouldn't believe for Aaron Donald, especially when right before the Super Bowl, you get that news out, and then this offseason or the start of the offseason when your team doesn't make the playoffs, you're changing your bio saying you're retired when everyone knows that's not the case.
I mean, I got nothing on that. The only thing I guess I'll say is if maybe his future is tied to McVay in a sense that if McVay was walking away, I could see him saying, you know what, fine, I'm out of here. Like, this is a new phase of the Rams, and I won a Super Bowl. They're going to go into a rebuild mode, and I'm not going to be there for that. I don't know if it was an emotional thing where maybe he heard reports that McVay's actually going to retire, so that's why he changed it to
play somewhere else.
Right, former retired. I forget what the exact word was in his Twitter bio. But
yeah.
Moving on, maybe only wants to be a Ram for his entire career. But I still think definitely within 2 years, he'll be retired.
Now, I could see him playing somewhere else. Like, if you tell me McVay walks away or Stafford gets traded and his contract runs up after the 2024 season, then I could see him playing somewhere else to wrap up his career. That wouldn't shock me. But I don't think he's retiring when his contract expires after the 2024 season. I don't, and even though it's for a defensive tackle, it'd be, what, 33? At that stage, you know, it would not stun me if he says it's over. I just would not expect it at this point because these guys love attention. I know this has a negative connotation being an attention whore, but Tyreek Hill loves the attention. Aaron Donald, even though he's more low-key, he loves the attention. Sean McVay loves the attention. And when you keep on crying wolf saying, I'm going to retire, I'm going to retire, I'm going to retire, eventually you're going to retire. But I don't think it's as early as what both those players are making us led are leading us to believe that they're going to retire Tyreek Hill in 3 years and Aaron Donald, I guess, after this season or the year after that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a 5-minute break. When we do come on back, we got to update you on some of the biggest topics of the day, some of the biggest stories of the day with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. We'll do that when we come on back in 5 minutes. You can always follow the Zach Gelb Show on Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb. That's very simply, Zachgelb. Coming on back.